Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Well, hey, boys.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
That's right. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial, y'all. 281-222-2222. Big shout out to Mokarum Injury Lawyers for supporting everything that your boy touches. Greatly, greatly appreciate those guys. And big shout out to Mokarum Injury Lawyers for helping Houstonians for 30-plus years. All those that have been injured in an accident and you've dealt with Mokarum Injury Lawyers, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
We keep it 100.
That's right. I hear you. If you're out there and you listen on that Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate it. If not, I want you to go ahead and download that Odyssey app. Do me a favor. You can keep listening on the AM/FM dial. You can keep watching on YouTube and Twitch. I'm not telling you how to handle business, but I would appreciate if you would download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. And when you get there, if you get a minute, won't you go and check out that old Big Earns Wagon podcast, all things Astros, Patrick Creighton and Tyler Milner. Like, subscribe, drop them something in a little chat, like a little middle finger emoji or something in the chat so that they know you heard me talking about it.
And I like it. Do it.
You listen. I think that would be really cool. The Astros, ladies and gentlemen, the Astros, two outs to go, bottom of nine. Cam Smith is up. They're down 7-4. Cam Smith's got a full count, goes down swinging, ladies and gentlemen. Now there's two outs in the bottom of the ninth, down 7-4. Astros took the first two games in this series. So
that's a successful series.
It's a successful series. It is a successful series. I don't like the kind of just conceding the third game sometimes with these rest days for certain guys. But nonetheless, it's a lot better, a lot easier to be an Astros fan right now than it was 2-3 weeks ago. So I'll take a little series win here. We're rocking and rolling. Rockets game 5 tonight at 6:30. We're on record already. I give them a 3 on the
puncher's chance.
Just wild puncher's chance. And Ron gives him a 5. I think Tyler would have been in the 1 or 2 range, to be completely honest with you.
Tyler's not in a good place.
But game 5 tonight, I know I'm greatly appreciating that 6:30, that 6:30 tip. That is one of them late ones, man. I get my chin off my chest 2 or 3 times during that second half now.
Man, the Rockets, I'm looking at ESPN.com. The headline, the big photo and headline is, the Rockets will enter the offseason in search of their star.
Yeah,
it is already over.
The only person more confident that headline is right than whoever wrote it is M.A. Udoka. They're in Ralph Stone.
It's a photo of Udoka and Jalen Green together as the photo, and that's where, wow.
Yeah, it's final, ladies and gentlemen. And 7 Detroit, 4 Astros. It's a final. Astros drop game 3 to Detroit. But while we're on that Rockets front, y'all, we've talked this series in circles. We've talked it to death. I mean, it seems like it's been the same frustrations for three of the four games. It seems like, again, three of the four games, it seems like there's been real opportunity for the Rockets to steal games, if you will, in this series. I don't know how a 2 seed steals from a 7 seed, but we know what we're dealing with here with the Golden State Warriors. You could have stole a game where Jimmy Butler was hurt and didn't play all of the game. You could have stole the game when Jimmy Butler was out completely. You could have stole the game when Steph Curry goes for 17 points and doesn't really at any point take the game over the way we know he can, and you dropped two of those three games. So if here's the question moving forward with the Rockets. It's win or go home. You got one shot. If you're M.A. Udoka, what's the one move that you make tonight? We don't get to talk this thing in circles now. You got one move. What are you making and why?
I do think there is a cause to make a change, especially right now. And to me, the thinking for me is, all right, how can I help the guys that I need to go? Right? Now, I'll be able to be flexible and see how the game takes you. But I got to look at it. How can I help the guys that I need to get going? And the two guys that I need tonight going into it, Clint, are Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green. And so I would make a move to the starting lineup. And not just to the lineup, but in potential play. I think that the Rockets have not used their most versatile piece enough. And I can't believe I'm saying this myself. I would sit Amen Thompson and put in Jabari Smith. I would start Jabari Smith to give Jalen and Şengün more space, and just to have another shooter. And he is still a 6'10 guy who is probably the team's best shot blocker and can still play and defend and is big, and you could still rebound the same way. But he has been the most consistent perimeter shooter for this team. And he's not just shot threes in his limited shot attempts. I mean, we're looking at in this series, he has shot it 4 times in the last game, 8 times. That's the most he shot in the series. The other 2 games, he shot 4 and 3 times. He's been your most consistent outside shooter. I think he needs to be on the floor more because he can defend. And I think just like you were doing with Steven Adams, you were dominant on the boards. I think he is somebody, especially when they play their lines where Draymond's the biggest person out there. I think he can help and rebound as well, too, and continue to give that advantage.
Yeah.
So that's the change to me. He's your most versatile guy that can switch everything, that can guard and do everything. I would have Jabari Smith, and I think Amen Thompson would be fine coming off the bench. Like, I don't think Amen Thompson would go in the dumps coming off the bench, and you come in and have him continue to play his game.
I really like that, Ron, because I'm going to tell you, man, the one thing we've talked about, the Jabari Smith and Tari Eason have both been very confident. They've knocked down open shots. They're good on the defensive end of the floor. They have that grit that you want. I think Jabari brings a little bit more to the table. And Jabari seems to be, and maybe it's because the shots are falling, but he seems to be super confident. If he's got a little bit of a crease beyond the 3-point line, he's jacking it. And if he got that one dribble to the elbow and hitting that mid-range jumper, he's confident in hell, and he knows when he's going to do it and use it. He doesn't ever seem to be confused. I'm convinced on the Jabari Smith thing. I don't know. I've enjoyed watching him all year long kind of progress to this. I wish the opportunity hadn't presented itself, to be honest with you. I wish Amen Thompson and Jalen Green continue to play in the playoffs the way they did in the regular season, and then he would be kind of, that Jabari would be kind of the guy like, man, you just can't find minutes, you know? You just can't find more minutes. But now the opportunity's presented itself.
Well, look, when you put Jalen at the top, and pick and roll, whatever, you put him at the top, when you have maybe, you know, Dylan on one side and you have Jabari on the other, right now they've got Amen out there, they've got, you know, Şengün out there, They've got multiple guys where they're like, hey, man, you shoot, you take the shot. And then especially when they'll have Steven Adams out there and they'll have both the bigs out there. You take the shot, man. Go ahead, man. We'll leave it. It's a little harder to help off of, or you got to stay a little closer to Jabari Smith. And now that I think we'll see a lot more post touches for Şengün, I think it just spaces the floor out even more with him out there. And again, you're not losing as much. I think Amen Thompson is a special defensive player, but Jabari Smith is long and can block shots and can switch. So to me, I think especially early, you have got to help those two guys, right? When Jalen's driving, they just funnel everything to where they want it to go because they're not afraid to help off with Amen Thompson. And then, hey, Amen Thompson, you keep that one time you cut to the basket. That's not scary. They're 10 yards off of you.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's to me my move.
All right, what's the one move you make tonight if you're M.A. Doka? The Rockets tip at 6:30, game 5.
Ron, I got some on the text line if you want to hear some.
Yeah. What you got over there? What you got?
Some on the text line. I would get Cam at least 15 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. Cam Whitmore. Cam Whitmore could be the wild card. I could see him getting action. Someone said, I said the same thing. Start Jabari. Take scoring pressure off Jalen. Bari is the key to it all. He is a true star on this team. So a lot of Jabari action. Someone else said maybe start Steven Adams on the text line. That was the lineup that worked for them. Start Steven Adams. Who do you take out?
I don't
maybe Amen Thompson. I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that as a starting lineup as much as an adjustment. I tell you where I'm at with this, and no surprise here. My one thing, if I were M.A. Doka, I would do tonight is I'd give Jalen Green one shot. And when I say one shot, I mean you're going to start the game and we are going to get it in your hands early and often. And the minute I see the deer in the headlight look, the minute I see the timidness, the lack in confidence, the confusion, yes, it's coming out of the game. And you're gonna sit by me the rest of the game, unless I need you to spell somebody. Because that to me, that's when at that point in time, that's when your plan would be my backup. would be my counterpunch. Because I do believe that the best version of this Rockets team is with Jalen Green handling the ball and with Jalen Green knocking down shots. However, I have zero confidence that's going to happen on a consistent enough basis to win a series. And so I'm going to start the game. And I'm going to give you 3 to 5 minutes. I'm going to make you the priority. I'm going to try to get you going. But the minute I see the deer in the headlight look, your ass is coming out, and I'm going with Ron to show Ugly's playing. I'm going Bari, and he's going to get a lot of run. I'm going to commit to him. He's going to get more minutes than he typically gets. And that has to be, whether it's in a three-big lineup or it's just him replacing and being in the lineup more often, that's the route I got to go.
Yeah, that's why I say mine. A part of it is, I want to give him as much help, and as much of an opportunity as he can.
Got to.
Right?
And
to me, I think that's why giving him another shooter where more people can't collapse on him could help. But no, I get you. I think a lot of it hinges on him. I mean, these three games have hinged on him. If he just had okay games, the Rockets probably win at least one of those games.
Yep. M.A. Doka, if he had one move, Ron the Show Ugly says, Bari Smith in the starting lineup, right?
I'd take Amen Thompson out. Someone text in, stop the nonsense, put Jalen's ass on the bench.
Well, I mean, that would be my exact comments when he walked by me. If I see that deer in the headlight look 3 minutes into the game, that would be the exact look and phrase I would use. As he walked back to the bench and it would be Bari the rest of the way. So there you have it. That's the moves that we would make. By the way, guys, let's switch gears real quick and jump over to the NFL. We hadn't really split this one up yet. There were 9 quarterbacks. According to my math, I think there was 9 quarterbacks that were drafted in this draft. And I'm just curious, which quarterback, in your opinion, which quarterback landed in the best spot? Cam Ward went to Tennessee Titans. Jackson Dart went to the New York Giants. Tyler Shuck went to the New Orleans Saints. Jalen Milroe, Seattle Seahawks. Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, the Cleveland Browns. Kyle McCord to the Philadelphia Eagles. Will Howard to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quinn Ewers to the Miami Dolphins. Ron, which one of those quarterbacks you think landed in the best spot?
Well, for me, anybody drafted outside of the third round, I automatically take out. I don't like if you're not drafted in the top. Really, it's really to me two, but I'll give the third. If you're not drafted in the top three rounds, like it's not a priority for you to
right
to really play, and you got to fight to make the team. So for me, I think it's between Cam and Tyler Shuck. And I'll go with Cam Ward because, one, he's going to get every opportunity. Yeah. He's with an offensive coach. He's in a division that's winnable. I think Tyler Shuck is, too, so that's why I looked at both of them. In a division that's winnable, he's going to get every opportunity. And they got a few pieces over there. Yeah. I don't think that their building of the team could take as long. They've got some offensive linemen in front of him that they drafted last year. They brought some in free agency before he even got there. So I'll go with the easy one, the number one pick, Cam Ward.
I like Cam. I like Tyler Shuck. You partner him with Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore's had a lot of success with a pocket passer that can stretch the field, and I think Tyler Shuck is that. But Ron, I'm going to go against your deleting of the bottom guys. I think there's a couple of guys. Now, I did use the best spot. I don't know that that's necessarily this is going to be accurate, but Quinn Ewers in Miami. That one, you got Tua who is hurt a lot and potentially could have a season-ending, career-ending injury at any moment. He played a lot of football in college. I think his skill set is limited in a similar way that Tua's skill set is limited. So it would be a fit to the system. You've got weapons all around you, and you've got what I believe is a creative play caller. Quinn Ewers could have very well landed in the best spot in the sense of having the structure around him that a quarterback needs, fit in the system, and getting the opportunity. Like with the likelihood of him Tua getting hurt, there is that could be a very, very, very good landing spot for Quinn Ewers. I literally, as I was watching him, the thought that whoever the hell thought he was going to go third or fourth round in this draft was very. I mean, I never thought Quinn. Like I think Quinn's crazier than Jalen Milroe for not coming back to going back to school and making that $4 to $5 million. Yeah. But. He may have landed in the best spot. I'm gonna go with Quinn Ewers. It's like you said.
My only issue. One of the issues with that is for me with him is Mike on the hot seat if
it's a great call.
If they don't win. Like if they have
he's gotta be, right?
Yeah, like is this a deal where they may be moving on from him? And you know what? You know what else he's facing? Bobby Slowick's on that
stage. Uh-oh, Bobby.
And we know Bobby quarterback kills. Killer. Yeah, he kills quarterback.
You can literally me for a warm glass of quarterback shut the hell killer. Up.
That's right. Ain't that right, Nick? D'Amico, CJ. That he's the quarterback killer. So he's gonna have to work through him. But no, Mike McDaniel. I do think there is a. If they roll in there with a 7-win season or something like that, and they're not competing for the playoffs, I think they could be going in a different direction because you can look at that team and say, well, they're too loose, and maybe they go in another direction.
Yeah.
If he
yeah, I mean that's the worst case.
And then at that point,
yeah,
you know, the person who drafted you is not there.
So yeah,
that's the only thing. All right. Coming up, we will let you hear how the Astros game ended and get you updated on that. And the news coming out of Daikin Park as well with Lance McCullers. All of that as we continue right here live on the Drive.
These nuts. Got him.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And the Astros dropped the final game of this series. Just the second time in the last 10 home games that the Astros have lost. Tigers get the final game after the Astros won the first two. Final score today, 7-4 Detroit.
Tough one. Although they did win the series. I know it is a tough way to go down when you play three and you lose the final one. But they win two games to one in this series, and they head into their day.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Off, and that was a really good Tigers team. The Tigers were playing really, really well coming in, and the Astros take 2 of 3. They, however, lose today 7-4, and they are now 2 games over .500. Struggle with base runners. They had 12 of them. They went 2 of 10. They were 2 of 10. 2 for 10, excuse me, with runners in scoring position.
It's not ideal.
And it was a, you said it earlier, Clint, it felt like a game they almost kind of conceded as they started A.J. Bluebaugh. His first start, he gave up a grand slam, which was the big, big hit that that propelled the Tigers to this win, winning 7-4. And but after that, the bullpen didn't give up any runs. 6 scoreless innings behind him. They just couldn't get enough offense in. Would have helped if their best hitter was in the lineup. But no Yordan, as he had the day off ahead of another day off. I just still don't understand that logic. I don't know if that was planned. Maybe there is an injury of some sorts, but it was a weird, weird deal. But they lose this one. Get a day off, which, hey, you want to win series, but get a day off, and then they will get back at it on Friday. As they will take on the White Sox on the road, one of the worst teams in baseball. That should be another series where they have some good stuff going. Especially when they got their best pitchers. They got Framber, they got Hunter Brown, and they got Lance McCullers going on Sunday.
Bury me in the H.
We'll get to Lance here in a bit, but your thoughts with today is the lineup, that lineup behind that pitcher. You were kind of doomed, it felt like, today with no Yordan in there.
Yeah, look, I mean, no Yordan. Christian Walker goes 0-for-5. You know, you had your opportunities. There was a lot of ducks left on the proverbial pond. When you got a young first-time starter on the bump who gives up a boatload of runs and the wheels come off early on, you're playing catch-up the whole time, it's tough. And what just wasn't the Astros day to day. Wasn't a whole lot to take from it in a sense of you know, what's this mean moving forward. But the big news is about that catch you mentioned.
Oh, Lance McCullers, mm-hmm. Yeah. Lance, he is going to start Sunday. Going to start in Chicago against the White Sox, Clint. And he has not pitched since in a major league game since the playoffs in 2022.
Like I heard him earlier say 911 days. Good 911
God.
Days.
Good God Almighty. As we said, just interesting things like the last time he pitched, there was no pitch clock. The last time he pitched, there were unlimited mound visits. Like the last time he pitched, the bases weren't bigger than they are right now. It is just
quite a while
crazy.
Ago.
But man, I am excited. We talked about it earlier, what your expectations are. We had some people up there talking about six innings is their expectation. Whatever. What are your expectations? This is, to me, first off, Clint, just happy for the dude, man. And if you miss what Lance had to say, he did speak before the game today. He did speak. He got out there and talked to the media. We didn't know. We just heard yesterday Clint, he was going to do a bullpen session, and then there's a possibility that he could pitch next in the majors, but they have now made that decision for him to pitch next. By the way, his last start in the minors, 5 innings, 71 pitches, seven strikeouts and 1 walk. But here is, as we know, Lance don't have no problem speaking for himself. Here is Lance giving us an update on did Lance say it? Was Lance the one who told us? I think Lance is the one who told
us. Ooh, it might have been.
Then Lance stepped out.
With the update.
And gave us the update himself. But here's Lance talking about his journey back.
My last two outings, I felt really good. I feel like my stuff's been pretty crisp. So obviously, it's been a long layoff for me, and there's probably going to be things I have to work through and kind of get my feet back under me and things of that nature. But I feel like I'm in as good of a spot as I can be coming out of rehab, rehab games, I should say, and excited for Sunday.
All right, excited for Sunday. I am too, and I think this is a perfect matchup. This is a on the road. And he's not going to get himself so fired up being in front of the Astros crowd at Daikin Park. Hell, it wasn't even Daikin Park the last time he pitched there. But he's excited. He'll be excited. He's on the road against a poor team that doesn't have a great lineup, and this will be a good way to ease himself.
Yeah, look, it's a friendly way, I suppose. But you look at Lance McCullers and boy, if he's anywhere close to what we saw damn near 1,000 days ago, which that may be a big ask, if he's anywhere close to it, man, it's going to be an impressive outing. And if he can just pitch well enough to be in this rotation long term, even if it's they go to a 6-man rotation, stay healthy and work his way back into this thing, it's going to be a beautiful story. I can't get real worked up about Lance McCullers, like whether I'm talking about it in a good way or a bad way. For me, Lance McCullers is a luxury. We've been talking about the luxury Lance for so long. That's just where my mindset is. And so, look, I hope like hell he goes out there and he's absolutely dealing, because that means great news for my Stros. But I don't want to put the expectations too high for my man.
Yeah, text line coming through. Expectations not be on the DL on Monday. But I said it earlier. I just want to make sure he gets through this thing and he's feeling good and he's ready to go for whenever his next start is. That's just my thing. I won't if he comes out and gives up 7 runs in 4 innings or what did our guy do? That's what our guy did today.
Yeah.
That's what, like, to me is, how's he feel? What's his stuff look like? Now also, like, he come out here, Clinton, he's throwing 91.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, yeah. It's more of that to me than how he actually performed.
Well, that's why I'm really struggling with, like, say, putting a my expectation, like an inning number or something on Lance McCullers, because if we're looking at this, the reality of it is he ought to be ramped up through 70 some odd pitches in his last outing. So he ought to be ramped up to give you 80 to 90 pitches. And hell, I mean, starting pitchers are giving you low 90s about max, and so that should be par for the course. You look at that. Yes, he's been injured, but from a strength standpoint, he should be stronger than he's ever been. From in terms of being fresh, he should be fresher than he's ever been. Now, where I can kind of let this thing slide a bit is maybe he's not as sharp, maybe he's not as tight to the strike zone, or Yeah. Maybe his pitches aren't you know, there's not the movement that we expect. But, you know, I do expect to see a good, healthy, strong Lance McCullers out of the gate.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him, man. Again, just shout out to Lance. Now we can all go to his coffee shop. But shout out to Lance for just getting here, boy. As he said, it's been a long time, and you wondered if he would make it there. All right, big night tonight, and nobody better to talk to. Hopefully, this is not the final Rockets report in season. While the season is going, hopefully we get to talk to Brandon next week during a Rockets game or a Rockets game upcoming. So hopefully that's not it. But we'll talk to Brandon Scott, get his thoughts on tonight. What does he do with Jalen Green? That's coming up next.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, here we go. Rockets Report. The Rockets, they're on it. They're in. We've talked about, is this a must-win last week? As we talked after game one, this is an actual legit must-win. They have to win. They lose. And this very fun, I don't want to say magical. I don't think it's that. But it's been a very fun step forward season will come to an end if they are not able to win today coming up. As this game starts at 6:30, this is an early tip. As the Lakers and the Timberwolves play later, so this is going to start at 6:30. Brandon Scott, our guy who has been in all these games here and will be there tonight. I want to get into a lot of things here. I think I want to start the number one thing we've been talking about for days. What do you do or how do you handle Jalen Green tonight if you're Udoka? Is there anything different? How do you handle him?
You know, I mean, I think you still ride with him. I mean, at this point, he is an important part of what you do. The one game that you did win was a game where he played well. Now, I think that he's obviously in the starting lineup. And Udoka, I think he's going to be pretty consistent with what he's done. If he's not playing well, he won't play well down. He won't play down the stretch, and he'll ride the hot hand or not ride the cold one. You know what I mean? So, I think it's going to be a similar thing. I don't think anything changes necessarily. They kind of just ride the wave. When it comes down to Jalen Green, though, it's no question that they obviously need him. And not just Jalen Green, but the whole team offensively. It's really more of an issue of, hey, your best perimeter offensive player apparently doesn't know what to do when a defense blitzes him, or is at least, at the very least, indecisive, has an inconsistent jump shot, so can't rely on that necessarily. And then on top of that, you don't have an overall offensive infrastructure to go to other than get the ball to Alperen Şengün. And they have an answer for that. I understand that, you know, Alperen has had a pretty good series against Draymond Green, but they do have an answer for that. So, like, at what point, and obviously this is when the rubber meets the road, at what point do the Rockets find answers for the answers that the Warriors have had for them?
You hit so many things there and so many frustrating things there, B. Scott, because I think when the season's over, maybe the better time for this conversation, but the you call it infrastructure, I'll call it scheme, I'll call it identity. We've talked about that every time you've been in here on the drive every week. It's like, hey, man, they look like a different, like a total different approach to offensive basketball yet the night before you came in on three different occasions. Not having that identity is painful. But I want to ask you a question I asked the fellas in the 4 o'clock in Dirty's Daily. If you're M.A. Udoka and you can do one thing tonight, one thing that you feel like has to be done in a win-or-go-home game, whether it's starting lineup or middle of the game, whatever it may be, what is the one thing that you do tonight that you feel like gives you your best chance?
I would say for me, see to it that Jabari Smith Jr. gets no less than 8 shots, something like that. Like, I think, you know, going into the series,
I put him in the starting lineup.
I could put him in the starting lineup.
That's what my change
was. I could. Now, and here's the argument for that. The whole argument in this series, I think, for Amen Thompson, aside from the season that he's had, is that he's supposed to be, you know, this Curry stopper. And we've seen that is not necessarily the case. You know, that happened in one game, and that was really more of a team effort anyway. but that's not necessarily the case. They're not even necessarily defending Steph Curry one-on-one. They're still blitzing him. They still got Alper Şengün flashing at him damn near half court.
The man was over there guarding Moody in the corner.
Yeah, no, like, so, to me, you lose the defensive argument for a man Thompson, and we know that the offensive argument would go in Jabari Smith's favor. So I think it's fine to go either way, but I love the argument of, hey, let's just go ahead and put him in the starting lineup. I think above all else, you need to gear your offense that is already challenged, that already lacks both shot making and playmaking and creation. And this is one guy who could at least knock down a shot. You can rely on him to knock down a shot. Design some things around him or for him. And that's one criticism I would have, is that they haven't done nearly enough of that in this series.
I'm with that too. Brandon Scott right here with us as he joins us in our Rockets report. Well, just overall, man, how are you feeling about this? I mean, we'll bring the people in, Clint, a little bit of what it was like before we got into the break. The old break. How are you feeling about this game? Because Clint said he's giving them a light puncher's chance. He's got about a confidence of 3. Tyler has thrown in the bag until we get to T-Mill's best bets, and wait till you see what he's going to do there.
What's up, T-Money?
And for me, like, I do think there's some pride there. My concern is Steph. I just don't think he's going to have 2 17-type point performances in a row. But I feel like they got some pride out there. I gave it about a 5. How are you feeling overall about this game and the Rockets extending their season?
You know, I don't love their chances based off of how the series has played out so far. Now, with that, I do acknowledge, like, they have beaten this team before, and even in some of these losses, they have been competitive. But again, we talk about, Clint mentions it all the time, when the rubber meet the road. It seemed like every time the metaphorical rubber meet the road, it's the Warriors that know what to do, and it's the Rockets who don't. I mean, if you even book in how that last game went, from, you know, the confusing way that they attacked the game at the end of the game to how haphazard they were with the basketball. Think about the reason why they struggled so much early was for the fact that they could not hold on to the basketball to save their lives. So, and then I don't even think I've mentioned, or if I've mentioned enough, the free throw issue. Missing 12 free throws and losing by 3. Like, they just got too many warts, too many flaws offensively that I thought they would be able to compensate for with the physical mismatch that I thought that they had. I thought that they also had the players that were well positioned to rise up in this moment, were given the opportunity, like Alper Şengün, who I think for the most part has done it, but also Jalen Green and Amen Thompson, who have not done it as much or as much as they have needed them to do it. So this is where we are, man. They could very well win this game,
but I ain't going into it confident. Don't it feel like they got to win comfortably? Like, it feels like if this thing is close, that's where the nerves get.
Yeah, it feels like they got to play out of their mind, or somebody on the team has to play out of their mind. And to your point, they do have to win comfortably, because if it's a, you know, 7-point game with 2 minutes left, if it's a 4 or 5-point game with 1 minute left, and you got to close out a possession, or you need to make free throws to keep yourself extended, like, you don't feel great about being able to rely on some of these basic principles of the game. They do a lot of the flashy stuff really well, and a lot of the grimy stuff really well, like their defense. But there are a lot of just basic things offensively that they're just lacking. It doesn't make you feel good about them, having watched them in this series, in this matchup and game.
Well, we've talked about it, right? Like, the margin for error, i.e. missing a high percentage of free throws, and, you know, the margin for error with this team is slim to none, especially when you get into the playoffs and you've got a Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr on the other side of the floor. The margin of error is so small. And I think that's probably the most frustrating thing about the Rockets to me, guys, to be honest with you. Like, I'm disappointed with Jalen Green, clearly. I was all bought in on Jalen Green, but it doesn't shock me that we're sitting here having this conversation. I'm not just shocked off my ass that we're having a conversation. I am shocked that the Rockets, in those three, four, five final minutes, critical minutes, it seems like multiple times they just pull bonehead stuff.
Yeah,
like we talked about, Jabari Smith throws the ball backcourt and a pass that a guy with a 10-foot damn 12-foot radius catch radius can't get to. you know, the letting Steph Curry get the three off the inbounds pass with 2 seconds on the shot clock.
Dylan on
you
the
know,
foul.
Dylan Brooks on the foul. Like, and it does it, that wasn't the first time that happened. It just seems like in those moments, B. Scott, that boy, with the exception of really Fred VanVleet, man, I mean, I can't think of a time when he really screwed the pooch, but it seems like there's everybody else is just all together making bonehead plays.
Peyton sliding down in game three for layups.
Yeah, a couple times, 9 straight points, right? Yeah. Like I think that is probably the most surprising. When I look at M.A. Doka and you look at, again, the Dylan Brooks and really the team and how good they've been as a team all year long, boy, it has surprised me a bit that I've seen those struggles.
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that you're pointing out, though, is a young team that is relatively still new. Like, you got some veterans that we mentioned, but still a relatively young team that's still new, learning how to win. Like, yeah. those are things that are, and this is not to make excuses, but to explain things that do illustrate a team that has never been here before. One looks like a team that's been here before. One doesn't. Even on the team, even the players that haven't been here before, they're on the team with all the guys that have, yeah, right? Yeah, in a Brandon Pajemski's case, like, right? He's standing there right next to Steph Curry and Gary Payton II and Draymond and all of these kind of guys. Yeah. And really over here, you've got Fred VanVleet, who is having an outsized role because you got one of your stars that's shrinking. You've got Jeff Green, who everybody respects but doesn't really factor into their actual rotation. That's what I'm saying, but he doesn't actually play. Then there's Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks, and everybody else is pretty much a young player. So I think that's what has a lot to do with that. I will point out even more so, like we're talking about the free throws. How about the fact that, not to pile on Jalen Green, but how about the fact that this guy has struggled offensively, but hasn't even, we talk about them struggling from the free throw line, this guy hasn't even managed to get to the free throw line for the most part. And we're talking about an athletic slasher, a guy who's hard to stay in front of. Most guys can't. And you look at his log, man, this guy has not had more than 5 free throws in any game. Other than the game where he scored 38 points in the other 3 games, he's got 5 free throws total. 5 free throws in 3 games and 3 losses. 5 free throws total. And one of the games, none at all. So, like, you're not getting to the line. You're not making good decisions. You're not knocking down your shots. Like, it's all bad. So that's the real report. What do you think
the contributor is there, B. Scott? Because I hope, I mean, maybe you are this guy, this of this belief, but like I just, where he's at, this can't be. He's young and it's the first time. The moment's too big. I mean, we're 4 games in, man.
Yeah, I think that he perhaps turns down some physicality in some moments, bails out some matchups. We talked about this before. And also, like, I don't think he's scared. But it does feel like he's a little disillusioned with the whistle. Doesn't feel like he gets a fair whistle and feels like, hey, what's the point?
He acts confused.
And definitely is confused at times. But I think the confusion is also enhanced by the hesitation and like forgetting at times, hey, I'm a bat out of hell. I am a matchup nightmare for most guys. I can get by most guys. Let me just get to the rim and see what happens. And he doesn't, I feel like, do that enough, or doesn't, I feel like, finish, through contact well enough. So, like, I think those are really the issues.
Let me ask you guys something, both of y'all. Y'all watch a lot more basketball than I do. Is it the Rockets or is it Golden State that's not allowing the Rockets to push the pace and be more aggressive? This game seems like one that has been played much more patiently by the Rockets. And at a slower pace than what we watched all year long. I mean, Is that Rockets or you think it's Golden State?
I think it's a little bit of both, and I think it's the playoffs. The playoffs tend to be more half court than up and down in the regular season. And I don't think Fred is a pusher.
Yeah.
I think Fred, I don't think he's a guy that's pushing the pace.
Well, also, and I think the sad irony of it is, to this question, is that somehow the Warriors have, for the most part, done a better job of forcing that issue, like when it comes to pace and playing with pace. And this, I think this is aided by the fact that the Rockets miss so many damn shots, and it allows the Warriors to rebound. And of course, to their credit, they do offensive rebound a lot, but if they're not catching out of the net and they're catching it off the rim, though, it's the Warriors benefiting off of the fact that the Rockets are so inept offensively that they are able to push the pace, and they have at times looked like the more athletic team or the faster team, which they are not, but they're able to look that way because the Rockets are so bad in this environment that Ron is talking about, where it's half court, and they don't have as many answers.
Yeah, Brandon Scott, he'll be there. Hopefully the season doesn't come to an end after tonight. The Rockets, 6:30, get going. They'll face the Warriors, who are looking to close it out here at Toyota Center. Hopefully they can not allow Draymond Green to get in their heads, which I believe he has been successful in doing.
Oh, I mean, that's a part of the MO. they got to be ready for that.
It's worth. Hopefully they can not worry themselves of that craziness. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire.